Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning from the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Omid Aleph. The topic that we will be dealing with continues in the spirit of the previous sugya. The idea of distributing an inheritance amongst those in such a way that it doesn't follow the Torah plan per se. The topic heading in the outside margin states the nosei. Ha'oimer b'loshan Yerusha, a person who says, using the Yerusha word, Biti tirosheni, I want my daughter to yoresh me, to inherit me, b'mokoim sheyesh ben, in a situation where the speaker has a son. Haim dvorov kayomim, will what he says stand, be effective? The Gemara, the Mishnah more accurately, begins. Ha'omer, ish ploini yirosheni. He says, I want so-and-so to inherit me. Who that is, we can say it's someone lesser than his daughter in terms of the line of inheritance. So he says this, ish ploni yirosheni, b'mokoim sheyesh bas, in a situation where the speaker happens to have a daughter. Or another case, biti tirosheni, b'mokoim sheyesh ben, I want my daughter to inherit me when he, the speaker, has a son. Lo amar klum, there is no effectiveness. It's not effective. This gift, this distribution, shehisna amashukosav matora, because his statement runs counter to the Torah law. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, im Omar al mi sheroi liyor shoi, dvorav kayomin, vi al mi she'ein roi liyor shoi, ein dvorav kayomin. It would be beneficial for us to withhold translating Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, because this will itself be the subject of the Gemara. Before we continue in the Gemara text, let's take note of a couple things. First of all, the Gemara opens up with what's in effect a long question. That's indicated by the kuf in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, namely to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. Notice the length of this long question. The second half of this long question will in effect be a section that's presented in brackets. The length of the brackets is also indicated through markings by glancing at the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you notice a dashed, dotted, vertical line. That indicates the extent of the bracketed section. What will be taking place in the brackets is something that won't require us to skip, as is done often when encountering brackets. However, the purpose of the brackets is simply to show that there is an attempt to answer the question, but that attempt is rejected. Hence, by the time you get to the end of the long question marking, we'll be left with a question. Following that, the Gemara has E Boyis Amo. You notice that in the Gemara text, the third of the widest lines is squiggle on the line E Boyis Amo, number one. One possible answer to the question is there, and then the next line, a squiggle underline, Eboy Seyma, number two. The number two itself will be an answer, but of a long nature, and that's indicated by a long marking that appears in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam. So structurally, what you can see at a glance is the presentation of a long question with two answers that follow. We have a topic heading in the outside margin, the nosei, ha-gemora minase levarer. The Gemara will attempt to clarify, ma hevdeil, what is the difference bein ha-tanakama the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? What's the practical difference between what appears to be two opinions? The first opinion in the Mishnah and what appears to be a second opinion, that of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Efshoriot shehuzkiru b'gemora shebeinehem, possibilities that are suggested in the Gemara, what might be points of difference, could be the following cases. Acher b'mokoim bas, o bas b'mokoim ben. What would the din be with regard to an outsider where he is the recipient of the Yerusha, when the speaker has a daughter, or a case of a daughter who is to receive property where there is a son? Another situation that might be a point of difference could be where those two scenarios that we just mentioned, everyone would agree is not effective, but rather this number two case might be a point of difference. Ben Bein Habonim, where the father offers as Yerusha to one son over the other sons. Turning back to the Gemara. Taimo, the acher b'mokom bas, ubas b'mokom ben. The reason, focusing on the Tanakama, that who said lo amar klum, why is it lo amar klum? Why is that which he said not effective? Well, it seems to be because of the examples that we saw. Namely, it was a case of some acher, a faraway person, was to be receiving the property through Yerusha, where the speaker happened to have a daughter. Or a case of a daughter receiving where there are sons, and sons we know by Torah law preempt daughters. Ha, Ben Bein Abonim. However, a case where the receiver might be a son amongst other sons, where the particular son who's going to receive it all is in fact a Yoresh right now. He's not someone skipping over someone else in the line of succession, but rather he is on the front line to receive. It's just that he is going to receive all of the property over his competitors, namely his other brothers, or a case of ubas bein habonos, where a man has no sons, he just has daughters, and the receiver is one of the daughters over the other daughters. We can infer from the Tanakama Dvarav Kayomin that what he says would be binding. And why is that? Let's emphasize the main point, because the receiver in those cases is someone that is a Yoresh right now. Let's continue. Amos Seifo. You can see a frame section. This is from the Mishnah. It's Tanaic material. In this case, it's our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Im Omar al mi sheroi liyorshai, Devarav Kayomen. If a person is going to be giving all of his property to someone who is a roi liyorshai, and the Rashbam explains that that's mashma, someone who's roi to yorishim right now, then what he says is effective. What did the Tanakhama say about that? He said the same thing, that if he is giving his property through Yerusha to someone who is a royal Yerusha right now, then what he says would stand. Well, Hainu Tanakama, then according to this, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is one and the same as the Tanakama. That's the question. We now have a bracketed section that we do not intend to skip, but just want to draw to your attention that the question of Hainu Tanakama remains till we get to the point in the Gemara, a third wide line in the middle, where it says Iboy Esema, which will be an attempt to provide an answer. Let's continue with the Gemara straight through. After having asked, why, Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Hu seem to be saying the same thing, V'chi Tema, you might want to suggest, Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Hu will allow this kind of gift to be effective, afilu achir b'mokom bas, ubas b'mokom ben, ko'omar, maybe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu is allowing the achir, the more distant fellow, to preempt the bas, because of this speaker's expressed wishes. And likewise, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu would allow a case of a daughter to preempt a son. But that can't be. V'hatanya. We have a Tanaic source that says otherwise, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu wouldn't allow that. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oisha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu Omer. The son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu tells us, Loi nechleku abo v'chachomim al acher b'mokom bas ubas b'mokom ben shelo omar klum. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu would agree that the case of acher b'mokom bas is lo omar klum. Al ma nechleku, then when does there appear to be a machlokes al ben bein habonim ubas bein habonois she'abo oimer yirash v'chachomim oimrim lo yirash. At this point in the Gemara, we must review the problem. Before we encountered this bracketed section, we came out with the conclusion that Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu and the Tanakama seem to be saying the same thing. Namely, that only in a case where the receiver is currently able to receive, then he or she will receive. What's the difference then between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu? And to suggest, like we saw in the V'chi Tema, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu would go further and allow Achir B'mokom Bas to receive, that can't be. We saw in the source, and we've used dashed underlines to emphasize, that Achir B'mokom Bas, lo amar klum, even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu. So the Gemara answers. Iboy Esema. One answer is, Midika Omar lo nechleku, from the fact that Rabbi Yishmael is the only one that presented Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu as rejecting the idea of Acher b'mokom bas receiving, Mechlal de Tanakama sovar nechleku. We can infer that other opinions, namely the Tanakama, or we could say our Mishnah, would hold that the case of Acher b'mokom bas would be the subject of controversy between the Tanakama, between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu. So, that which was featured in the V'chi Tema, in that squiggle underline at the beginning of the bracketed section, would, in effect, be the answer. If you ask, what's the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu, we can tell you the example of Acher b'mokom bas, according to the Tanakama, according to our Mishnah, the first opinion in the Mishnah. Acher b'mokom bas would not acquire, and according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu, Acher b'mokom bas would acquire. Iboy Esema, another approach. Kulei de Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Hu, the entire Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Omen Aleph, our Mishnah, is really one opinion. V'chisurei mechasra v'ahigotani, and the Mishnah is a bit abbreviated, and thusly, you should understand the Mishnah. We've presented a framed section around the complete understanding of the Mishnah, even though this is not technically a Tanaic source. It's the Gemara's way to present the way to understand a Tanaic source, namely our Mishnah. Hence, we've we've marked it with a frame. So thusly, we should understand the Mishnah. Ha'omer ish ploni yirosheni b'mokom sheish bas. Biti tirosheni b'mokom sheish ben. Lo amar klum. If one tries to, through Yerusha, have an acher, ish ploni, preempt his daughter, or have his daughter preempt his son, it's not effective. Ha bas bein abonos, uben bein abonim, im omar yirash kol nechosov, dvorov kayomim. If, however, one singled out a person that is currently in the front line of inheritance and opted for that one to receive all of the property as opposed to the others, his words will stand. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, notice Shet Rabbi Yochanan Omer is simply a continuation of the beginning of this source. Im Omar Ami Shiroi Liyosho Dvorov Kayomim. If someone says that I want one of my sons to receive everything, or one of my daughters, in the case that he has no sons, that the daughter should receive everything, then what he says stands. So according to the Ibois Ema number 2, the question of, is it not so that the Tanakama is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yochanan Broka, we don't have two separate opinions based on which to ask this question. Rather, the Mishnah is all Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. We might want to note that there's a major difference between these two answers, and that being, according to answer number 1, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka would be telling you, Acher b'mokom bas would be effective. According to answer number 2, Acher b'mokom bas, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, would not be effective. Omer Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. He rules that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's opinion is to be accepted. V'chein Omer Rava, Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Namely, the use of the Yerusha expression and thereby enabling one to receive all of the property, thereby cutting out others, could be effective, provided, of course, that the one who is receiving it is somewhere in the line of Yerusha. If we accept the second answer of the Gemara, we would say he's in the front line of Yerusha. He's in the immediate position to inherit. And according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka, even though what is taking place is not according to the Torah perception of inheritance, according to the Torah, there would be an equal distribution amongst all of his sons. Nevertheless, his desires can be fulfilled, namely the desires of this speaker who says, Bein ben Abonim should receive all. Oma Rova, my taime, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. What's the source of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? We will repeat for the many times already that we're dealing with a rather sensitive topic. We're dealing with the topic of Masne Amashasukah b'Torah. The Torah has a certain perception of how inheritance should take place. If someone comes along and does otherwise using the Lashon of Yerusha, how could that possibly be effective? Hence we're asking, what's the basis of his ruling? Omar Kro V'hoya B'yoim Hanchiloi Es Bonov. That's the pasuk. Hatora nosna rishus la'av lahanchil l'chol mi shiyirtze. The Torah gives permission to a father to bestow his property unto whomever he wants. Of course, the whomever he wants has to be somewhat qualified based on the sugya we saw above. But suffice it to say, the pasuk itself is allowing a father some margin of allowance. Namely, the Torah provides rules of inheritance. That's given that the father didn't say anything. But if the father does issue an order or a desire, like we saw above, Bein ben Abonim, one of my sons should receive everything, the Torah itself gives license for that being effective. Omar le Abaye. Abaye asks, he asks Rava, the source that you just cited for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's halacha is learned from somewhere else. Ha, milo yuchal levakir nafka. The Rashbam explains that that posuk communicates the following idea, that a father cannot redistribute a firstborn's extra portion. However, the inference is that his other properties, other than the firstborn's extra portion, can be redistributed. Abaye's question, therefore, is, I learn Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's teaching from Lo Yuchal Levaker, not necessarily from V'hoya B'yom Hachilo Esbonov. The Gemara responds, Hahu Miboyale L'chedetanya. The seeming presence of an extra pasuk is really needed for the following teaching. We are about to start a Tanaic source that continues almost halfway down Amud Beis. What we will see in this source will be both Psukim, V'hoya B'yom Hanchilo Esbonov, and the Abaye Posuk of Lo Yuchal Levaker, and what the significance of each one is. The source continues. Abba Chonon Omar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Lo Yuchal Levaker. Ma Tamud Lomar. The Pasuk says, Lo Yuchal Levaker. What do I need that for? What does it teach me? What's the significance of that? The Rashbam at the top line says, Lo yuchal levakir ma tamud lomar, v'lo ksiv basrei habachor ben hasnua yakir. The Torah already makes provision for the firstborn to receive his special portion. If that be the case, so what is it teaching me when it says that he cannot do or give that portion to someone else? The Gemara, the source continues. Lefi shenemar, v'hoyo biyom hanchiloi es bonov. The Pasuk says a person can distribute his property as he sees fit. Sheyochol. We have a diamond over here that indicates some type of series or repetition phenomenon. If you glance ahead in the source, you'll notice again the appearance of this diamond. Before we go any further, let's take advantage of the introductory notes and explanation of structure that appears on the side. The outside margin, the notes say, Limudim me'apsukim lo yuchal levaker v'hoya biyom hanchilo esbonov. What will be learned from these two psukim? Mishnei psukim elu be'omed aleph savru shenitan lumoid mehem sho'av yochol lahanchil l'chol mi sheyirtze. From these two psukim, it appeared, as we saw on Omer Aleph, that a father can give his property to whomever he wants. The Mivne note, the diamonds, Shiyachol, Ma Hayisi Choyshe Buli HaPosuk. After the diamond phrase, Shiyachol, appears, the Brisa will be telling us what I would have thought had I not had the given pasuk. We've also used a volcano form around Talmud Lomar, which is the point at which the source tells me what the pasuk does. Let's continue in the source. We opened up with a question of what do I need the pasuk of lo yuchal levaker? What does it teach me? As far as the translation of that phrase, that's already covered by the seifa of the pasuk. Therefore, the lo yuchal levaker expression must have an additional or special role. The Gemara continues, sheyochol vehalo din hu. I would have thought without this pasuk the following logic. Uma poshut, a regular son, namely non-bechor, sheyofe koichoi, he has a certain type of legal strength, shenoitel beroi kivemuchsok, he is able to take or inherit anticipated properties, namely properties that are not in the possession of his father yet at the point of the father's death. And yet, even though when the father dies, it's not in the family's possession, it's accumulated or it's collected only later on. Nevertheless, the poshut inherits that. So you have a certain type of strength that a poshut has, namely the standard portion that an heir receives covers even that which is roy. And nevertheless, Nosno Rishus La'av Lahanchil L'chol Mi Sheyirtze. The father gives, the Torah gives the father the power to redirect inheritance to whomever he wants. B'chor Shehoira Koichoi Sheino Noteil B'roi Kibamuchsak. The firstborn, with regard to his extra portion, we know that the Bechor does not get an extra portion with regard to ro'ui properties. So the Bechor is in a weaker position regarding his extra portion. When we talk about Bechor in our sugya, we are referring to his extra portion. So that portion, lo kol shekein, certainly the father should have power to redirect. Talmud Lomar, lo yuchal levaker. The Torah comes along with a surprise and says, that extra portion that a Bechor is entitled to receive cannot be redirected by the father to someone else. The source continues. V'yomar lo yuchal levaker. What did the Torah say? Only that. What do I need that pasuk for? Let's go over this question. We saw in Amud Aleph, when Abai introduced Lo Yuchal Levaker, we explained that from the Torah you can draw an inference. The father cannot redirect the extra portion due to the Bechor, but the basic portion, what's known as the Chelek Poshut, that a father is able to redirect. If that be the case, what does the Torah have to tell me again? The same halacha in the pasuk of Yom Yom Hanchilo is one of that a father has a right to redirect basic inheritance. The source continues. Sheyachol. I would have thought, without the pasuk, I would apply the following logic. V'halo dinhu. Is it not so? Uma b'chor shehoira koichoi she'eno noitel b'roi kibemuchsa. Imagine a Bechor. We know that he, namely the extra portion due to the Bechor, is in a weak position. What's the weakness? In that he, the extra portion, is not in the form of ro'ui. Anticipated property is not something a Bechor gets a double portion in. And even so, even though there's an element of weakness associated with the Chelek Bechor, Omro Torah lo yuchal levaker, the Torah says that a father cannot redistribute that extra portion to someone else. That extra portion is reserved for the Bechor. Poshut sheyofe koicho shenotu b'roi kibemuchsak, the basic inheritance, which is of a stronger nature in that the standard heir, we call poshut, is able to inherit anticipated property. Lo kol shekein, certainly the father should have no rishus to redirect that. let us say this again. Mind you, property that is of a weak nature, the chilik b'chora, which is of a weak nature, in the sense that he's not goveh, he doesn't collect from roi, and yet the father cannot redirect that. Something that's of a strong nature with regard to the child acquiring, certainly the father should not be able to redirect that. Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the Torah comes with a pasuk to counter that which I would have logically concluded. V'hoya b'yoyim hanchilo es bonov. HaTorah nosna rishus la'av lahanchil l'chol mi shiyirtze. The Torah gives rishus to a father to redirect basic inheritance to whomever he wants. Omar Reb Zrika, Omar Reb Ami, Omar Reb Chanina, Omar Reb Yanai, Omar Rebbe, Halocha K'Reb Yochanan Ben Broika. We've underlined the expression Halocha because this is going to be contrasted with another expression. Omar Le Rebbe Abba. Rebbe Abba says to Rebbe Zrika, Hoira Itmar. Namely, Hoira k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, as opposed to the expression halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Hoira k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is to be understood. At this point in the Gemara, we of course have to explain the significance of these two expressions. We notice in the continuation of the Gemara the presence of a bracket. It's a rather long bracketed section. It extends till Kuf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph. The reason for these brackets is not necessarily for the purpose of skipping, but rather to show the length of the topic that will be presented immediately. Let us notice the note. Let us take note of what we've written on the inside margin. Acharei hasograim, haGemara chizeres ladun b'shitas Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. After the bracketed section, the Gemara is going to go back and discuss Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's shita. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka was the subject of the Gemara till this point. B'toch hasograim, haGemara dona v'mosai psak din havei halacha l'maisa. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will be preoccupied with defining when is it that a ruling or a conclusion can be considered practical law. Up till this point, namely immediately before the bracketed section, we saw two opinions. One was halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and number two was hoira k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The Gemara asks, b'mai komiflagi, what's the difference between these two? Mor savar halacha adifa, umor savar maise rav. To appreciate this, we will take a look at the Rashbam. Halacha adifa, shepoisek halacha la'asoyz kein, that a ruling to do thusly is of greater significance. Avol ki amrinon hoira, when we tell you that a ruling was made or he paskind like, ika lememar deta'a Haroye, the one reporting the story, namely, someone who comes along and says to us, I heard a Rav rule like Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Maybe the person telling us the story is not aware of all the facts. The Shema Oiso Hadin, maybe the conclusion that this party heard, Lo Nifsa K'Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, It wasn't a ruling based on the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga. Namely, you have a situation where an outcome resembles that which Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga would have said. However, the outcome is not a result of following Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga. Elo al yedei tainus acheros ziko es kol nechosim leechad min abonim. It could be there could be a situation where one son received all of the property as opposed to his other sons, but not as a function of ruling like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga. Kigon she'amar ha'av loshon matona im loshon yerusha. As we saw in a previous sukkah, where a father mixes the Lashon Matana with the Lashon Yerusha, to Ledivrei HaKol Dvarav Kayomen. Such an expression, such a distribution, would be effective according to all opinions, not only Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga. Uchidaminon Nami, and we see this in many other Gemaras, where we see Lav Beferish Itmar, Ela Mechola Itmar, where things are derived not through explicit statements that we are to rule thusly, but rather because of circumstances that were witnessed. Let us skip to the next entry in the Rashbam. Umar Sovar Maisa Rav Kishemirin Laasois Maisa Oz Yesh Lismoich Velaasoisai. When there is a teaching to do thusly, in other words, there's a ruling, give all of the property to one son over the others. That situation is more reliable than hearing, halacha is like so-and-so. Aval kishoimer halacha keploini. If you simply hear a rav ruling, not in a practical case, but rather he teaches that the halacha is like so-and-so, ein sonchen la'asos kein, we're not going to rely on that to actually act upon that, ad she'yoyru halacha l'maisa. Unless you hear that expression, which we haven't introduced till this point. Kidele kamon, as will be seen later in the Gemara. However, di omar halacha, if you simply hear a rav say, the halacha is like so-and-so, ika l'meimar, the derech limudo omar hachi. There's room to say that he said it only as part of his learning. Aval imba maisa liyadoi. If, however, an actual case came to hand, as is alluded to by the expression hoira. Hoira is a teaching in a practical case. Have a medaktek yoiser. Can I remember samuch? There, before issuing an actual ruling in a practical case, the Rav is scrupulous. As the Gemara indicates, Ein lemeidim halacha mipi limud. We don't learn conclusions from that which is concluded during regular study. Aval mishahoiro lasois. However, if there is a ruling based on an actual incident, shuv ein lefashvesh achrov. There's no further room to question afterwards. The Gemara continues in this same vein by presenting a Tanaic source, as you can see in the Gemara text in a frame. The source itself presents a phrase that's difficult to understand, after which the Gemara will clarify things. It's important for it to be noted before we go any further that in the spirit of this Gemara, knowing when to draw conclusions and then when not, we will say that don't draw conclusions from this discussion. There is a lot more than that which the Gemara itself presents. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Lemeidim Halacha. Lomi pi limud, velomi pi maisa. When we say here ein lemeidim halacha, it means one is not to learn what to do, not through one's simple learning or hearing a lecture, Velo mipi maisa, and not by witnessing an incident. Ad sheyoymu lo halocha lamaisa. Don't act until you hear that expression. Halocha lamaisa. Sha'al v'amru lo halocha lamaisa. Someone asked the question and he was told, do thusly, this is halocha lamaisa. Yelech v'yasem maisa. Go ahead and act upon that. The Rashbam adds, act upon it, and you don't have to go back and ask about the same thing again and again. Once you hear halacha l'maisa, continue acting based on that. Ubelvad shelo yadameh. The conclusion of this phrase, of this source, says something that's very questionable. It says, provided that you do not compare. The Gemara asks, "May ubelvad shelo yadameh?" What does that possibly mean? Kol haTorah kulo dimuye medamin on law. All of Torah learning is an outgrowth of comparing things. Omar Ravashi, hochi koomar. The kavona of this phrase of ubelvad shelo yadameh is actually of a very limited nature. It means thusly, ubelvad shelo yadameh betreifus. Provided that in questions of treifus, which is a topic involving kashrus of animals as a result of imperfections in various organs, one should not make comparisons. Desanya, the source begins, ein oimrin betreifus zu doime lezu. One should not say in the topic of treifus that this problem compares, is comparable to that problem. Namely, imagine someone had an animal and the rabbi ruled that the animal's liver was problematic. Whatever the problem was, the owner of the animal, the fellow who asked the question, notices that there is a certain, let us say, discoloration in the liver of the animal that renders it unkosher. He should not say, upon encountering another animal with a similar discoloration but in a different organ, namely its lung has that same discoloration that was seen in the first animal's liver, and say, oh, just like the first case was ruled thusly, the second animal I'm going to rule the same way. One does not do that. One does not engage in comparisons in the realm of treifus. The source continues, Sharei choytcha mikan umesa, choytcha mikan v'choysa. There are situations where a cut in one spot and the animal is said to continue living, and a cut made in a different spot, possibly on the same limb even, and the animal is said to be dead, namely, won't live. Omar le Rav Asi Rav Yochanan. Ki omar lon mor, halocha hachi, nevid maisa? Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan, when you say this expression, halocha hachi, should we act based upon that? Omar, Rav Yochanan says back, loy ta'avidu, ad de'amino halocha lemaisa. Do not act until I say the expression halocha lemaisa. The Rashbam, in the lower part of the page, three lines from the bottom, ad amino luchu halocha lemaisa, she'omar lochem halocha b'shoa she'tish'alu li al yedei maisa. Don't act upon anything I say, except for a case where you have an actual incident that you have to know about, and I tell you at that point how to act. Debishas maisa odom yore lidoin. When a person encounters an actual case, a person is fearful of making a mistake. Umechave libo yoiser, and hence concentrates more. Kidamoron liel, as was stated before. Ein lemeidim halacha mipi gemara. One does not conclude how to act halachically from his Gemara, meaning from his teaching, from his studies, ad shiyomru loy halacha lamaisa, until he hears that expression. That expression, and as presented here in the Rashbam and the Gemara, until a case is being dealt with in an actual fashion, and he hears that thusly is the ruling. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar lehu Rava l'Rav Papa u'l'Rav Una b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua. Before we continue reading any further, let's glance at the outside margin. The nosei, the topic here, Eich l'tyaches l'psak din me'rav acher she'encho maskin ito. How should one relate to a halachic ruling from a different Rav that you don't agree with? We've featured in a geometric form two expressions. One is a reference to while he's alive, and the other is to a ruling from a particular Rav that you seem to disagree with after he is dead. The Gemara continues. Rava told his students, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, ki asi pisco de dino didi l'kamaychu. When a ruling of mine comes to you, namely a letter, a sefer, some kind of document indicating how I ruled on a matter, v'chazisu bei pircha, you see a question that can be raised on my ruling, lo tikriuhu, don't tear up my ruling, ad the asisu l'kamoy, until you come to me. E is li taimo amino lehu. If I have an answer, I have a reason for what I paskin, I will tell you, and thereby answer your question. Your pircha, your question on my ruling. Ve'i lo, and if I don't have an answer to your question on my ruling, hadar nabi, I won't hesitate to retract. Li'achar misa, if, however, there's a situation where a ruling of mine comes to you after I'm gone, lo mikra tikruhu, umigmarnami lo tigmaru mine, don't tear it up, but also don't rely on it. Lo mikra tikrinu, don't tear it up, the avoy hasam, if I would have been there, dilma hava amina l'chu taimo, I might have had an answer to your question. The Rashbam adds, more importantly, v'shemo gam atem timsu tiritz l'kushyaschem. Just like, had I been there, I would have been able to answer. Maybe you will find an answer to the very very question that you're raising. And secondly, migmar nami lo tigmaru mine, don't learn from that ruling that you have a question on. Di'ein l'dayon elama she'enov royois. A judge cannot come to conclusions other than that which he sees. And if for whatever reason you see something that's different than the way I ruled, so you cannot be bound by my ruling. Before we conclude the shiur, there's a long discussion in the Rashbam concerning the presence of comments made in Mishnayos, where while learning a Mishnah, a certain opinion might be taught in the context of a controversy, and the Mishnah itself will say the halacha kedvarav, and the halacha is like so and so, like one of those opinions. The Rashbam points out that under no circumstances is one to paskin like that which is found in the Mishnah. Mishnayos do not represent halacha lamaisa, do not represent a source from which one can come to practical halachic conclusions. However, let us glance at a dashed underlined section in the wide lines of the Rashbam
He says, Avol behalachas apsukais bedivrei hamoroyim. Conclusions that are reached by the Gemara. Vadai samchinon. One certainly can rely on that. The kevon sheposkum v'kosvum Rav Ashi v'Ravina, since they were ruled upon and written by Ravina and Rav Ashi shehem soif hayra, that they were at the end of the Amoraic period, vadai alayu samchinon. Certainly, we, the Rashbam is speaking, and we must bear in mind the Rashbam is from the Rishon period. He is saying that there is no question that upon the Gemara's conclusions, one can rely. Motzinu lemeidim hecho de polig yochid etzel rabim kihani lo samchinon apsak halacha shel mishnah ela imkain posek ba Gemara. From this, in a case of a controversy found in Mishnayos, where a singular opinion argues against a majority opinion, and you might find in the Mishnah that the Mishnah itself rules like the minority opinion, one cannot rely on that unless the Gemara says to rely on that. Aval apsak de Gemara samchinon. On Gemara conclusions, where the Gemara ends off a sugya and says halacha like so and so, one certainly can rely. The kulu havu halacha lemaisa. The entire Gemara is in effect a book of halacha lemaisa. When I say the Gemara is that way, it means the conclusions of the Gemara. If that be the case, what's taking place here with regard to Rabbi Yochanan? Elosh Rabbi Yochanan levado hoya machmir liatzmo v'omar letalmidov kide lekamon shelo yasu dovar ad sheyoymar lohem halacha lemaisa. Rabbi Yochanan was himself reflecting a stringency that he took upon himself, that his students should not act unless they hear the expression halacha lemaisa from him. The reason being that Rabbi Yochanan himself might retract from whatever ruling they heard. Continuing that phrase again, he says, "The Dilma Hodarbe Me'ahu Psak Halocha Sheposak V'Yireh Lo Itam Achir Be'Einov." While he's alive, Rabbi Yochanan was afraid that students should not rely on what he ruled, unless he said halacha lemaisa, because he might retract what he said at a given point in time upon seeing later information. Umi uliachar p'tiroso yesh lohem lasos ma sheposak lohem. However, after his death, the students of Rabbi Yochanan could certainly rely on what he had paskin for them. Kol yemei chayov lo hoder bei, because all through his life he didn't retract from that particular psak. And all the more so, we, says the Rashbam, can rely on the rulings that appear in the Gemara as presented and ruled upon by Ravino and Rav Ashi, who were, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, at the end of the Hayro'ah period. For our purposes, though, one has to be very, very careful when learning a Daf Gemara and coming to some type of conclusion that through the course of time, Rishonim and Achronim have added depths of understanding that is not readily apparent by learning the Daf Gemara as is. And hence, even though the Rashbam says what he says, let us not forget the Rashbam was from the Rishon period, much closer in time to the Gemara and having much greater clarity in what the Gemara was saying than we have today. Hence, when it comes to issues of halacha lemaisa, one must look much further into whatever matter he's dealing with than what's presented by the simple Daf Gemara. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.